This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. Today it's supposed to be 90 degrees here in Phoenix, and I know some of you are listening to this broadcast outside of the U.S. Maybe some of you are in the United Kingdom where it can get a little gloomy. I've been there quite a few times, as some of you know, and so this time of the year we start moving up toward the triple digits into the 100-degree mark, and that's when everybody starts fleeing and traffic starts getting a little lighter. So as Paul would say when he introduces many of his letters, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you may be familiar with Triple X Church. They began their ministry around 2002. And actually, Blazing Grace, we began in the early 2000s as well, so they've been around a similar amount of time, and a guy named Craig Gross was the founder and the main driving force behind it, and he was unconventional in a number of ways that upset some people, and they would do booths at adult video conventions, so porn actors and actresses would be walking around and have booths, and he would set up a stand there and give away Bibles that says Jesus loves porn stars. And from what I know, they were leading them to Christ and had a great ministry and impact. And they did the porn and pancakes events. They had got some churches doing those where to encourage churches to talk about pornography. That was supposed to be a Saturday morning men's breakfast thing. He did the Great Porn Debate with Ron Jeremy, who is the ex-porn actor, where they would go around the U.S. and then they would debate about the merits or the non-merits of pornography. He would speak at churches all over the U.S. He wrote books. He was in the media often. In fact, some people accused him of being somewhat of a glory hound or a showman. And he was called the porn pastor, and I can relate to that. Sometimes people call me the porn guy. So Triple X Church had a pretty big footprint on this issue in this country and was well known. Plus, they had their Triple X X3 Watch accountability software. I assume they're still doing that. And then Craig Gross handed that ministry over to another ministry in 2021, and he went a totally different direction, which called Christian Cannabis, where he was been promoting the benefits of smoking pot, basically. And at first, he was talking about the benefits, you know, from a medical standpoint, because his wife had gotten cancer. So he was talking about how it was helping her with pain and those type of things. But then they went further down that road, and he got into what he calls the transformative. Well, this is from his LinkedIn profile. He said he found liberation through the transformative power of cannabis and other sacred plant medicines, which helped him break free from traditional religious constraints. So he was getting into hallucinogenic mushrooms, magic mushrooms, we used to call them. And then he talked about taking acid, i.e. LSD. So he started going further and further down a dark road. He built a psychedelic retreat center in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California, and he was been leading healing plant ceremonies involving magic mushrooms and quote-unquote the mind-melding mysteries of psilocybin. And so he went way off the deep end, and he talked about, he's written about his spiritual experiences while on these drugs. And in my teens and early 20s, I did those drugs. I did LSD and angel dust and pot, among others, and cocaine. And I know, yeah, you can have a spiritual experience with those things, but the problem is you're opening the doorway to the wrong side of the spiritual aisle. You're opening the doorway to demonic influence and voices and thoughts and lies. So he's saying, I've found freedom in bondage, basically. And then he divorced his wife. He changed his last name, so now it's Craig Rose. And so he's pretty much walked away from Christianity. And when you look at where he came from, it's like, what happened? I mean, this guy was speaking at churches all over the country. When I speak in a church, I always see it as a privilege and an honor. It is not a right. It is nothing that anyone owes me. It's a God-given honor and a sacred one because we're speaking to God's people in what is supposed to be a holy sanctuary. So this is a big deal. And then he fell off the rails. It's like, what happened? And then And nobody, you know, I can't judge the guy's heart. I can't see. I don't know what switch flipped. But what I do know from other experiences and the temptations of ministry is sometimes we can get so carried away with the rush of public speaking or, you know, the adulation of crowds or whatever. He was being interviewed on TV and media and on all that, and that can get to your head if you let it. And I sometimes tell people the two most perilous risks of ministry are burnout and pride. And you see a lot of ministers falling every single day. And burnout in among pastors is high. I think I saw one statistic that said that pastors last about 3 years before they fry on average. So this is a big deal. And if in ministry, if we start letting the stuff people are saying go to our head, it's very dangerous. Pride is like a snake. And once it takes a big bite and grabs hold and we're cooperating with it and petting it, we're in dangerous territory. And I don't know what happened to Craig, but some people, like I said, accused him of being a kind of a glory hog. And if something like that was going on, then what happens is we start kind of distancing ourselves from God. We start believing our own stuff about, quote unquote, how great we are. And then we start living life in the flesh. And once you start living life in the flesh, you are in trouble. And then the prayer life declines or it fades. And then the next thing you know, you've exposed yourself to the enemy and you're spiritually vulnerable, and then anything can happen. And then I started thinking about others who have fallen. I remember a guy, when I first got married, there was a guy named Jim who I had high respect for. I got married when I was 26, and he was a couple years older than me. And then this guy, he was always talking about his love for God and serving at the church and teaching at the church. And back then when I was 26, I was a wonderful, glorious, screwed up, train wreck mess. Porn addict, sex addict, lust problems, angry, bitter, had a lot of wounds to recover from with physical and sexual abuse. I mean, I was a screwed up mess. And yeah, I was going to church and doing those things, but I was a mess, so I looked up to Jim, and I wanted to be like him, honestly. I think some of those thoughts were running through my mind, and then fast forward some 30 years, I circled back around with Jim and found out that his life was going in the wrong direction. He got into pornography. He was physically abusive to his wife, and he ended up eventually getting divorced. And so and still going to church and all, but his life just went way off the rails. He was became a bitter and somewhat cynical man, and I know from his background that he'd shared with me that he had some significant wounds growing up, father wound issues. And he always tended to push those aside, like, I don't need to deal with that. But that didn't work. When we have those significant wounds, if they're not tended to, they will manifest at some point or another. And usually they manifest in anger, fear, depression, or addictions to cope with them. And so he had that going on. And then I think of some other well-known names. So remember the group Christian band DC Talk? From years ago, they won 4 Grammy Awards. There was a guy named Kevin Max. He was one of the 3 singers, along with Toby Mac and the other, who's just left the Newsboys. Tate, that was his last name. But Kevin Max came out publicly and said he, quote-unquote, deconstructed his faith, which is a really smart-sounding way of saying he's walking away from Christianity. Which he said he did. And then there's Rhett McLaughlin of Rhett and Link, that a huge YouTube following, said they were Christians. He walked away from Christ. Joshua Harris, the author of I Kissed Dating Goodbye, that was a big bestseller on purity and dating some years ago. He walked away. And then the guy even came out with a online course on how to walk away from the faith, but he probably called it deconstruction. Is $295 to do that. It's like, now you got to pay money to go to hell. It's insane. But then he got a lot of flack for that, and he took it down. But this is a real thing that's going on here. And just March 24th, just recently of this year, Pew Research just came out with this survey showing that many adults in many countries all over the world are switching religions. And switching religions as they define it is not going from denomination to denomination or church to church. It's actually a total switch of a religion. So it'd be like a Christian going to unaffiliated or Buddhist or something severe like that. And what they found was that South Korea was number one in the world with 50%. The UK was up there high with 36% switched religions. And the US had 28%, they found. This is Pew Research. You can find it on their website. The title was 20% more of adults in many countries in East Asia, Europe, and the Americas have switched religions. And I'm reminded of Matthew 24, where Jesus says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another." Falling away, he's prophesying that. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul warns, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Another falling away warning. And I know there's some in the church would say, well, that just means they were never saved, but that's not what the text says. The problem with a theological box is that at some point the chances are high that you're going to run into some verses that go against the grain of that box, and then what we have to do is start trying to force the verse to fit in the box by adding pieces to it. You cannot fall away from something you didn't have. An unbeliever will not fall away from the faith. He will not care about the faith. Paul's letter in 1 Timothy was to the church. The warnings to not drift to Hebrews were to the church, to brothers, to believers. This was not written to unbelievers. So the enemy is coming against believers, and he's taking them down. And as Paul said, they will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So Craig Gross's situation, what would be a deceitful spirit or a teaching of a demon? Well, that you can have a great spiritual experience from smoking pot or doing magic mushrooms or dropping LSD. That's a lie. That's a big setup to open your life, to open the doors of your heart and soul to the enemy. That's playing games with fire. And so how you finish, my friends, is far more important than how you start. I started horribly. My start was a just great disaster. And God's done a lot of work over the years, the decades, in doing a lot of shaping and pruning. Those pruning moments are very painful, but I needed every one of them. And a great example in Scripture of somebody who started well and then faded near the end is Asa. He was the king of Judah. 2 Chronicles 14:8, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. So he's got more than 500,000 men army. And then verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 14, and then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. So they were outnumbered 2-1. And when they draw near to battle, we read that Asa cried to the Lord his God, "O Lord, there is none like you to help. Between the mighty and the weak, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude. Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you." So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. That's big-time faith. I mean, when you're outnumbered 2-1, you know you're going to take significant losses or get wiped out. So it's going to be a significant attack of fear here, but Asa stood firm on his ground that God was bigger, and he cleaned up Israel. You could say he led him in a kind of revival. He destroyed the idols that were there, the false gods, repaired the altar of God. He even threw out his queen mother, Makkah, because she had put up an idol. So this dude was all in. And then they had several decades of peace and prosperity. And then when you catch up to him in 2 Chronicles 16:1, something goes wrong. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah that he might permit no one to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I'm sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, his brothers, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. So Asa went from incredible faith and leading the nation revival to trying to buy off a victory with another evil, wicked king. Somewhere along the line, something happened. His faith and his relationship with God got choked. And then God sends a prophet to him to confront him. So down into verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 16, "At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly. From now on, you will still have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer. What happens when we confront somebody who's full of pride? They lash out. They don't want to hear what we got to say. And put him in the stocks in prison. So he was in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. And then, verse 11, the acts of Asa from first to last are written in the book of the kings of Judah and in Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. So somewhere along the line, Asa's faith was switched from Almighty God to man. And man can't come close to doing what God can do. God can heal. God can give victory over an army that's double our size. God can do a lot of things. Nothing will be impossible with him. So what happened to Asa? Well, they had several decades of prosperity and no war, and they had peace. And what happens when we have good times of prosperity? We start kicking back. We start slowing down. We start enjoying life more. We can be prone to making enjoying life an idol or our God or our source of life. And yeah, we go to church, but we go home and we've got our nice house. We got our, you know, middle class upbringing or even our apartment or whatever. Got our cars. We got our stuff. And we can buy anything in a moment's notice. One or two clicks from Amazon. We have porn on demand. We now have AI boyfriends and girlfriends on demand. We can go to the grocery store and just about get anything you want and tons of selections of it. We're just surrounded by everything all the time, anytime we want it. And then what happens when you go to church in a time of prosperity? We can start forgetting about things like spiritual warfare, that the church is at war, which it definitely is during these times when so many are falling away. We can forget about war when 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women are viewing porn and lives are being destroyed. But we don't talk about those things because we're much more into comfort and making people feel good than we are about setting captives free and rescuing God's people. We can make worship about a rock concert that stimulates the flesh and the nervous system more than it does open the door to true, heartfelt, heart-opened worship. We can make everything about something that makes we can make our life about pleasure and comfort. We can spend hours engaged in watching sports events or whatever it is, or movies, and then the next thing you know, we wake up and our prayer life is gone or dead, and we're lukewarm and we're soft and we've drifted from God, and now we're in a very dangerous place and we wonder, what the heck just happened to me? And we become soft. We take pride in our possessions and accumulating them. These are all warnings, my friends, that how you finish the race is far more important than how you begin. And retirement, you know, when you get into your 60s and 70s, maybe you retire, take your foot off the gas. Once you do that, you lose your purpose. There is no opening for a Christian in the Bible for retiring. We see people fighting till the very end of their life. Caleb is an example. Paul is an example. Others are examples. So until the very end, my challenge to you is you keep your prayer life fired up every single day until the very last day of your life. Take short accounts of sin. Be very careful with the thoughts you allow to run through your mind, the emotions running through your heart. Once you start getting bitterness in there, or pride, or arrogance, or lust, letting that stuff run through, you can get in a dangerous place really quickly, and you do not want a Craig Gross-like finish. So we want to be like Asa in the beginning. We want to be all in for God, not playing games with church, not playing church. We want to be all in for God, going hard after him until the very end of our life. So thank you for joining me, my friends. We'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.